Chapter 7, Resist the Solution Seduction.
When someone brings up a solution to a problem, or they have an idea to capitalize on a new opportunity, your first step will be to gain mutual understanding of what it is. Once you have that mutual understanding, then you can make a counterintuitive business move. So this next move is simple. It's habit-breaking, tradition-destroying, convention-bending. It's pretty easy. Move off the solution. When you hear a solution, let it go. Avoid premature solutions. And in order to do that, you have to be made of solution-resistant material. Spray it all over yourself and hold on for the bigger, better marshmallow. Remember, if you can resist, if you can develop this impulse control, then you won't have to jump on the first idea or suggestion, whether it's yours or anyone else's. And then you can identify and start to explore all the relevant issues. Those are the things that need to be discussed in order to really well define the solution, and you'll get better thinking by avoiding the coulds. In essence, by doing this, you're moving off a potential could onto the underlying business issues and getting to the shoulds that the business needs to have solved. Now, you're probably saying to yourself, what? That's it? After all that buildup, that's it? Yeah, and it's worth repeating. Move off the solution. Moving off the solution is the first crucial move to better business thinking, and it's counterintuitive. Moving off the solution might not seem revolutionary. If you could move off, it would be revolutionary. Now, in moving off the solution, your first task will be to recognize that you are, in fact, talking about a solution. That what you and others are hearing, seeing, or talking about is a solution, whether it's a report, a campaign, a strategy, goals, meetings, research, initiatives, whatever it is, it's often an intended solution. And at this point, the risk is it may only be an event. The key is to recognize it for what it is. A potential ticket to the event amusement park. You can't afford to let fake solutions hang around until they become too familiar with everybody, get a lot of press time from everyone adopting company speak. And then once they're familiar or famous, they slowly get funded without any solid critical thinking behind them. And that's where we fail in business. Now, here's what's driving your move off the solution. It has to be intense curiosity. What is it that this solution is trying to address? And the tricky part is recognizing the solution when you hear it or see it. So stay awake. And when you recognize a solution, here's what you should do. Restate the solution that you believe's been offered, just to make sure everyone hears it and that you've got it right. Everyone's on the same page. And here's how you start to add structure to your curiosity and move off the solution. There'll be three things that you can do. One, move off the solution and start to make a list of all the underlying business issues the intended solution is supposed to address. Two, make sure that the list is complete. Don't leave anything out. If you leave anything out, you may be missing out important information. Three, prioritize the list. Tackle the issues in order of priority to the business, not to the political interests of anyone in the room. Now, imagine you're in a discussion, and it's with the marketing division about strategies on how to grow your market share, and someone makes the following suggestion. I think we need to move aggressively to develop an e-commerce website. If we don't, we're going to lose market share, and it'll be almost impossible to regain. Here's the response BusinessThink would offer. An e-commerce website sounds like it could be a really good idea. Just before we talk specifically about the website itself, what are all the issues we're hoping to address by creating a website? Now, before pouring fuel on the fire and suggesting other solutions that support or reinforce the notion of developing a website, notice how we've redirected the discussion by restating the proposed solution and then moving to the underlying business issues that could be addressed by a website. Practice these responses until they're just second nature. The magic is in the ability to hear a solution and move off that to make a list of the business issues. You see, once you're off the solution, you don't need a lot of description in order to identify those issues. Just one or two concise sound bites will work for each. We're not talking about a lot of time to develop the list. Just identify the issues as quickly as you can until everyone feels like the list is fairly exhaustive. Here's another example. Imagine a colleague says, "I think we need to implement a company-wide project management software system." Here's the business think response. "That could definitely be a big need here. With the recent downsizing we've been through as a company, that's probably a great idea." At a high level, just out of curiosity, what are all the issues we think project management software could address? Now, by making this move off the solution, you start to develop a list of issues. And here might be some of the issues on the list. "Well, we've been missing deadlines. I think this project management would help us. We've had some increased development costs. Morale is pretty low. We've had some downsizing and we're asking people to take on more work. We have to improve our time to market through the development process. It would give us a standard approach and better language for managing projects." Seems like pretty good items to have on the list. Now your task is to make sure the list is complete. Now, if you're doing this on your own and you're developing this list, you may want to pass it around to other people and get their input. If you're in a meeting, it's as simple as asking a question like this to make sure that the list is complete. Well, let's take a look at the list of issues we have here. If we could make major progress against these goals and only these, in other words, nothing else would be addressed, would we have a real solution that would completely solve what we need to have solved? Now, if others have ideas, add them to the list. You'll often find that one of the last issues added to the list when you've pushed your thinking and the thinking of other people, that actually becomes the most important issue on the list. You see, it takes a while for people's minds to engage a subject, so be patient in letting the issues unfold until you and everyone else feel satisfied that the list is complete. It's better to exercise a little patience now than to have a vital issue come up later, only to wipe out the investment of the project that you'd made to that point. And I know it's hard to wait, but balance your need for speed with patience. If you're patient, it will pay big dividends. And if you're not patient, you won't get a complete list. And if you don't get a complete list, there's at least two risks that you'll run into. The first is you'll end up using up valuable time, energy, and resources talking about an issue that's not the most critical business issue that needs to be focused on. You also might be duped into thinking that it is the most important issue, only to find out later that it wasn't. So that's the first risk. The second risk is, even if you do finally make your way to get the most important issue, you will have wasted time and effort just getting there, and you may not get that time and effort and people back to discuss now the most important issue. So here's where we are. We had a solution come up in a meeting. We restated what we thought that solution was. We invited people to move off that solution, and we made a list of the underlying business issues. We pushed our thinking to make sure that the list was complete. Now the next step is to identify which issue on that list is most important. So choose what you think is the vital issue on the list, and be careful here. Ego, yours and others, may lead you or them to try to dominate the selection of the most important issue. In group dynamics, choosing the most important issue becomes a bit more challenging. Maybe a quick idea would be to give everybody 3 votes and have them allocate votes to items on the list. Now, once you have identified the most important issue, the next task is to go into depth on that most important issue. And the bigger the decision, the more complex the issue, the less likely it will be that you can tackle this whole discussion in one session. It may take multiple meetings. You may have to meet with more people outside the group that you have in the room. Even if you do have the time, your brain may not have the juice to do the discussion justice, to go to the full breadth and depth that's needed to solve this problem. So if you start talking about one issue and it absorbs many others on the list, Don't worry, that's natural. All we're trying to do is to push our thinking to expand the list, to make sure that we're being inclusive. And so if issues end up combining or dividing or changing in terms of importance as the discussion unfolds, that's what it's for. It's a dynamic, not a static process.
Here's a catch in all of this. Sometimes people won't move off the solution, no matter how hard you try. No matter how hard you push or pull, they're stuck on the belief that they've nailed the right solution. Both their brain cells are operating at full capacity, and that's the best they can do. So true or not, they won't move. There's a difference between someone saying, "I think we need a new branding strategy," and someone saying, "You know what? We're going to repaint our vans." In the latter case, they've already decided on the solution, and they only want your help implementing it. The solution is not in question here. Their choice may be a big loser, it may be wrong, but it's made. So in essence, they're saying, "Look, I've made my decision. Do you want to play or not?" And in that case, you can still provide value. You may not want to, but you can if you choose to. What you can do is find a meaningful use for their immovable solution by getting their criteria for making a decision on that particular solution. In that case, you business think around two topics. One, their criteria for the ideal solution. And two, their criteria for the ideal solution implementation. So you could start out with something like this. Given that you know you're going to repaint the vans, what would be our perfect criteria for the new brand for the vans? And you could get out a complete list of the issues or the criteria and make sure it's complete. You could also ask, what will be most important to you in terms of the people we work with in doing this? And then you keep business thinking, however loosely, around those criteria as well. If you have no choice on a solution, make sure that you give it every chance you can to succeed. If it succeeds, great. If not, at least it won't be because of more lazy thinking piling on the lazy solution or on how to implement the solution on your part. It was just the wrong solution. When you can make it off the solution to the issues and you've prioritized those issues, to make the right business decision, you will need to dig deeper for an understanding of the issues by getting evidence. And that's where we're headed next. So let's do some serious self-awareness on solution addiction. How good are you at moving off the solution or getting others to move off the solution? Let's hold up the business think mirror test for move off the solution. Number one, I only talk about particular solutions after I understand what is strategic to what we are trying to accomplish as a business. Number two, when discussing business needs, I bring out all of the relevant business issues before we talk about any one particular issue. Number three, I make a distinction between business issues that are the most important issues to our company and those that are mildly related. And four, when I'm in a meeting and a question forms in my mind, I ask it.